Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
And now on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline, former Green Bay Packer quarterback and friend and teammate of Gary Ellerson's, Lynn Dickey, old number 12, the real number 12, joins us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. Lynn, appreciate the time.
Well, you know my number will be retired one day.
I like that.
Yeah. That's one of those things where there'll be a picture of Aaron Rodgers holding, and I'll be up in the stands giving the peace sign. Yeah, that's us.
I like that.
Well, if anything, we can crop the name Dickey right over the top of it once they put it up there at Lambeau Field. Lynn, now obviously you have some great memories of Coach Starr.
Yeah, it's kind of strange these last few days. I find myself being just blue. And somebody will say something, my wife will want to go do something. I say, I just don't feel like it right now. I'm not sitting around crying or anything. But I guess a lot of reminiscing for the years that I spent knowing him and did not know Bart till I was traded for in 1976. So when I got there, coming from the Houston Oilers, where everything was ragtag and very low class, and got to the Packers and everything was very classy and ran a very taut ship, and Bart carried himself with such class all the time. And over the years, people have asked me, what about Bart Starr? Can you sum him up in one word? I said, yeah, class. 24/7, 365. He was just a class human being. And probably the nicest, best human being I've ever met in my whole life. So when I got up there and was exposed to him for the first time, It was eye-opening. And, it was pretty good to have a guy as being the head coach that had played your position. Because think about the league today. How many head coaches will come over and give their quarterback advice and after, a certain play? And in the quarterback's mind, because the guy used to be a linebacker. Or is it like he really played a lot? Doug Peterson comes to mind as a guy that played, hung around a lot of years, probably didn't play that much. But still, he sat back in that pocket. Now, you guys know when you're in the film room and they're showing you the video and you got some coach there, receiver coach, for me, and just pointing out, well, Dickey, the guy's wide open right there. And I, never being short for words, I'd say, hey, you've never stood back in that hole. When those people are flashing in front of your face, and yes, I know he looks wide open to you on this video, but you ought to come back and sit back in that hole sometimes when you got a maddening world going on in front of you. It doesn't look like that back there. But when Bart Starr would come over and say, hey, we ran that play action, thank God Gary Ellison went the right way on this one. you make the play action, and my first read, the guy comes open, and bam, I got him. He said, next time we do that, just you got James Lofton doing a post on the backside. Just maybe take a peek next time, because sometimes that free safety gets a little nosy, and he wants to come up and support that run. You know, it only takes a step for James to get behind a guy. So, and I, when he would tell me stuff like that, I absolutely would pay attention. You know, I'm going, well, he's done it. So I absolutely would pay attention. I just know, and this whole thing is not a big surprise, certainly. Those that have known his past for the last 4 or 5 years, with the heart attack and the stroke and his dementia, and I mean, how much more crap can you pile on a person? And you know, I guess I've been expecting this for a couple of years, but when it finally happened, I'm just kind of blue about it. Kind of sad.
Talking with Lynn Dickey here on the Wendy's Big Show. I heard you this morning on NFL Radio tell a story, and I'm hoping that you could tell the story to everybody here on the Fan in Milwaukee about a game against the Niners back in the late 70s before they had Montana and all those teams, in which you might have lost your cool a little bit, and how that all played out.
Yeah, I think that was probably 77 or 79. I don't know which. It had to be probably 77. And Niners were not very good. They just, you can watch film and, you know, ask the guy sitting next to you. You watch film all week and you go, they're not as good as we are. But the biggest problem with that is you got to get yourself ready to play. You can't just walk out there and expect them to fall down. And you tell yourself that, and the coach tells you that all week. But yet you get in the game and you just don't have that that level of intensity that you do when you're playing, let's say, a defending Super Bowl champion. You know you better be ready for that. So we go into that game. I think in the first quarter I was sacked maybe 3 times, and we were down 14-0. And we got the ball back on our own 10. Larry McCarron and I fumbled the snap, and ball hits the ground, and they jump on. And I'm worked up. So I'm about the time I hit the sidelines, I threw my helmet and hit the bench. Not the only thing I hit that day, I think. And cheek pads and everything just exploded. So I go down, and I got these MFs going up and down the bench. I'm screaming and yelling, you know, nobody wants to win, and blah, 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 blah. And they run one play, and they fumble. We get the ball back. So, of course, the coaching staff yell, offense, offense, back on the ball. So I'm scurrying under the bench trying to find cheek pads and this and that. So as I'm running out and finally getting the huddle, I'm snapping them in. And I step in the huddle, and I looked at everybody. Of course, I always look right across the line from Larry McCarron. I said, listen, why don't all of you guys – just get off the field, and I'm going to play these guys by myself. Because apparently none of you want to play. So I'm snap it to myself, and I'll drop back, and I'll run it. I don't care. But I tell you, I'm going to try like the devil. And, of course, everyone's kind of looking at me like, this guy's lost his mind. Which maybe I did a few times, but they're saying, come on, man, call the play. And I went, no, I'm not kidding. Get off the field. Everybody, get off the field. And I'm going to, of course, then the referee right behind me blows his whistle, delay a game. So Bart's looking at me, and he's giving me the come here finger. And he calls timeout, and I go over, and he says, what's going on in there? He never even got out of the huddle. I said, well, we're having a little discussion. And he goes, well, let's get in there and call the play and come on. I said, I think I got my point across. I think we're going to be okay from here. So I go back in, never got sacked, touched again in that game, came back, and we won the game going away. But, you know, the look on his face, I'll always remember that. Like, what is going on in there? I mean, what? I just don't get it. Call the play and let's go. You know what Bart in that little clip that y'all played, What he didn't say was he went it. He didn't tell everybody in that huddle on the in the Ice Bowl game on the quarterback sneak. He still called the same play, which was a 31 wedge, and Chuck Mersin was the fullback. And I think on the play before or two, Donnie Anderson, he tried to do a dive to Donnie, and Donnie slipped and barely got the handoff and fell down at the one. But he, when Bart called, did that quarterback sneak, he still called what, you know, was an old 31 wedge for us. And but he didn't tell Chuck Mersin. So if you see the replay of that play, Chuck Mersin's going like he's going to get the handoff. And he sees Bart just sneaking in over, you know, the right of the center over Jerry Kramer. And Chuck Mersin didn't want to get a penalty for pushing the quarterback like you can now. You could get a penalty for pushing the guy from behind. So instead, Chuck throws his arms up in the air like the signal for a touchdown. Mm-hmm. He kind of brushed Bart anyway and kind of helped him on in the end zone. But, you know, Bart told me another story about, early on when Coach Lombardi had got there. They're running films, and Bart throws an interception or something in a game, and he just berates him in front of the whole team. Watching film, as you guys know, everybody gets berated from time to time as you're watching film after a bad game. So Coach Lombardi relayed into it really bad, and everybody just kind of shriveled down their seat thinking, man, oh, man, if he's yelling at Bart Starr, what they're going to do to the rest of us. And Bart said, I had to make a stand. So he waited till everyone left that meeting. So it was just he and Coach Lombardi. And he went up to Coach Lombardi and just said, I kind of bit my tongue and said, I'm going for it. He said, Coach, you cannot talk to me like that and berate me in front of this whole team. All of those guys have to look up to me and respect me. And if you're tearing me to pieces in a meeting over one play, they're not going to respect me either. I need them to respect me when I'm on that field. And he just kind of held his breath, and Coach Lombardi looked at him for a second and said, you know, you're right. I'll never do that again. Now, go down out there and let's practice. Bart left the room thinking, oh, thank God I got away with that.
He's probably never knew. How was training camp with Bart, Lynn?
Pretty rough. You know, I think all of those guys that went into coaching that were under Coach Lombardi, they all wanted to do, and part of the warm-ups was up-downs. And Leroy, I don't know whether you guys did that at all.
No, Leroy didn't do no up-downs, man. No. They barely bust a sweat, Lynn.
Well, we did. I had an intern do it for me.
Yeah, exactly.
But that was the way they thought you show whether you're in shape or not, or your mental toughness. And what it actually did was some guys sprained wrist. Some guys would plop down on the ground and get up and, you know, pull a groin or something. It was really quite stupid. But, I mean, sometimes we'd do 35, 40 of them. And I mean to tell you, it'd get your attention as far as huffing and puffing.
How many up downs did you think you did in one day, Lynn?
probably that 40, 45.
Oh no!
Yeah, I thought it was close to 100.
And you're just shot for the rest of practice. Right.
Water break.
Your legs are shot, and of course everyone's just the only thing you dreaded going to practice. Was especially if you catch one of those Wisconsin mornings where it happens to be 82 and humid, and the wind, there's no breeze at all. And when you're stretching, water is running out of your helmet. And it's funny how you can almost hear a pin drop
Yep.
Because everyone's really quiet. It's maybe the third or fourth day of two a days. And you're starting to think, this really sucks. and for us, thank God we had the goofiest guy of all time that would yell out, "Hoo-wee! Man, where would you rather be today than in Green Bay, Wisconsin, doing up-down?" Well, somebody would say, "Shut up, Kaufman, you idiot." That sounds like, yeah. And then later in the year, when it was 15 degrees, and we'd open up the barn doors. Well, when I first got up there, there was just about a 70-yard slab of AstroTurf, and we did not have a housing at all. And we, of course, when it got really, really, the ground froze really cold, we'd get on that AstroTurf. But same thing in warm-ups, everything's serious, and he's pounding away, trying to get everybody ready, still doing up-downs on the AstroTurf. And here's Kaufman. "Hoo-wee! Man, is it cold out here? It's Packer weather. Let's go, Pack! Shut up, Kaufman, you moron."
Lynn, was with Coach Starr, you talk because you had a close relationship with him because of being a coach. How was he, though, when you started talking about him off the field as a man, as a human being?
Well, in my lifetime, Gary, I've been really fortunate to meet three people that I would say are just the absolute finest human beings I've ever met. My mother was one, just absolute saint, as most all of us think our mothers are.
Right.
So my mother, and then I met Bart Starr, and I'll throw his wife Cherry in there too. Mm-hmm. They are hooked at the hip for life. Those two are just fabulous, mm-hmm. fabulous people. And my father-in-law, who, if he makes it to December, which I think he will, he'll be 102. But he's still very mentally sharp. And just, I call those people, the world's made up of givers and takers. Now, those people I just mentioned would give you anything, and not ask one question about it. And they want nothing in return. Their whole lives are about giving, whether it's a kind word, money, just a caress here and there. It's just constantly giving people. And try and think of all your buddies and people that you've known in your lifetime. Who do I know that just thinks nothing about but giving kindness to anyone and everyone, whether you know him or not? I saw Bart talk to people and give people hugs. He has no clue who those people were, but he appreciated that they came up to him to see him, say hi to him, get him to sign something, and he'd give him a hug. And I tell you, I learned a lot about myself after I met him. And I came away with that thinking, I want to be more like him. I want to conduct my life more the way that man does.
And if
it will be me.
You're 1,000% correct, Lynn. And if everybody from the stories that we've heard tried to live their lives a little bit more like Bart Starr, the world would be a much, much better place. Really appreciate your time and the great stories you had of Coach Starr.
Okay, guys. Have a great day.
Thanks, Lynn.
That's Lynn Dickey, Packers Hall of Famer, joining us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline, looking to buy, build, renovate, or refinance in 2019. Look no further. Call Great Midwest Bank today. Great Midwest Bank, providing simply local, common-sense lending to your community since 1935.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world.
Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.